Keep your space feeling comfortable this summer with help from Menards. The Denali Air 6000 BTU window air conditioner has a 3-speed cooling system with remote control, allowing you to control the temperature of your space from anywhere in the room. You call the shots with auto and eco mode to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Stop by in-store or online at Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, this is Shift and Stare, and we are ready to bring you episode 437. And today we're going to break right out of the gate, and we're going to talk about the Napa Valley 750, where Aaron had been all last week. I saw him doing everything from driving his Morgan to putting stickers on cars, gumballs, playing with gumballs.
Stickers.
So, hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Yes.
Glad to be back.
It's rainy and miserable down here today. How's it up there, Aaron?
Oh, really? Is it?
It's like real heavy fog, you know, where it's almost like a June gloom.
Oh, yeah. It's been foggy in the morning, and it just burned off and took the dog out about 10 to 11. And I'm looking out the window. Yeah, it's nice and clear now. It's about 75, I think, today. It's good. It's perfect. It's the way we like it.
The way you like it.
So now you get to do this Napa Valley rally without really leaving the town. You just go out in your backyard and you get to do it. You don't have to like leave the snow to get there.
I know. It's really funny because I was like, oh, yeah, this year, you know, we'll just get up in the morning from the hotel, have breakfast. And then Rick's like, why do you need a hotel? You live here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. So we just drove home every night.
Yeah.
I forgot something. Earlier. I don't have to drive 3 hours to get it.
Yeah, we just woke up, drove 15 minutes, you know, to the hotel and started the rally. It was never like an issue. It was great.
Well, tell us all about it. What cars were on it?
Oh gosh! So it's a pretty regular group from the Peak to Peak rally out of Colorado. So we had a 275 Ferrari. We had a 365 GT. GT. I think it's a GT. They call it a Queen Mother. We had a 365 GTC, which our friends from RM brought and they drove. That was pretty cool. And then a lot of Porsches. So we've had some really significant Porsches. So we had an Emery Porsche, a yellow one, a little coupe thing was badass. That was actually the cover this year with Rick's Ferrari, it's 275. And then we had a couple Speedsters and a couple 911s and real significant 911s, like really, really rare RSs and things of that nature. Let's see, what else do we have? The Morgan and the Mini, of course, which are the least significant of all the cars there. We had a original 427 Cobra, a really interesting history on that car.
That's the one you were putting the gumball on, right?
The black one. Yeah. So I've kind of been volunteered to put them on. I guess being an artist, they figure I put them on better than not being an artist. I don't know.
It's centered.
It's pretty silly, but I'll take it. I'm always happy to help. The problem is a lot of people ceramic coat their cars, so it's really hard getting those things to stick. But we didn't have any fly off this year, and I think that's because I put most of them on. But it was good. KR again brought his D-Type Jaguar, which is just my favorite of all. I'm in love with that car. And he's actually going out to look for another one, so I might join him just to ooh and ah a little bit. But the Cobra, the Black Cobra, is an interesting history on that car. He got it from what's the gentleman's name? Mr. Cobra, is it? It's not Lauren Lee or I forget. Anyway, I apologize, but he's fantastic in Southern California. I believe he got it from him. But it's a neat car. Like I said, it's got a mixed pass. I believe the body actually came off it at one point. And something else was put on it back in the race days.
So it's a genuine, not a continuation.
Oh, no, it's okay. A genuine. It's a very low number. So
did we have an ad read this time?
Yes.
Let me tell you a little bit about Bet Online. Bet Online is the number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB to golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available for your favorite teams. You get the latest odds and lines, including team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. It's Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hey, yeah. That's good. Good stuff. Let's get back to it.
All righty.
I guess somewhere in its history, they found the body and put it back on the chassis years later. And the motor, all the numbers match now. But it was one of those cars that had been a race car. And so it was blown apart at some point and used for something else. And then put all back together, and it's all original now, and it's really cool.
I think they practically all were race cars, and
yeah, exactly.
And, you know,
yeah. I mean, I forget which body it had on it, but it had some, you know, prototype body that someone decided to put on that chassis because it worked.
And how so did they that took car fare, just as far as being, you know, drivable and everything like that?
Great. I mean, it's a motherfucker to drive. I mean, as you can imagine, it's brutal. But the weather was good. We had a couple days in the low 80s, but otherwise it was really good weather. No rain, nice and cool. It was a good time of year. A lot of road work, unfortunately. A lot of road work. Like when we did the route a week before, the road work wasn't there. And then the morning of the rally, it all started. So that was a bummer. A lot of traffic.
You need that nice, cool air so none of those cars overheat. If everything runs well, and you know,
exactly.
Little moisture, nice and cool.
Yeah, so the alternator in the Cobra failed the second to last day. There was a beautiful little 356 coupe, which was just a stunning car, gray, one of my favorites, just a beautiful little car. And I think the only other failure we had was a 928, 78, one owner car, original. He bought it brand new and brought it to the rally. It had that cool checkered seats, like in the center. Remember that kind of? It was kind of a checkered. It was like all in motion. It was really cool. Red. It was a poster car. He had a fuel pump failure. Just the diaphragm, the fuel pump, and the seals just let go, and it was leaking fuel. But that's it.
Aaron, what happens with a lot of these cars, and I can speak from experience with my own cars, I'm sure both you guys can too, is that they sit more than they're driven. So when they get out and get their legs stretched on something like that, there are those seals, those valves, those, you know, whatever it is that goes south, you know.
And, For sure.
I had my Vega out for a show up in Glendora one weekend. Hadn't been out in a long time. And I trailered it up there, pulled it out, and left the trailer at Mikey's house. And then we drove down to the car show, and about – part of the way there, I'm sitting at a traffic light and it goes bleh. And the mechanical fuel pump had, you know, lost its, you know, luckily there was this really cool guy with a shop around the corner. We hustled it over there and we were able to repair it because it's pretty simple, couple bolts. But, you just never know, you know, no matter, they can be great cars, but if they don't get driven, worst thing, what do we all know? Worst thing for a car, don't drive it.
that and ethanol. So I think with this fuel pump, as they sit, they dry out, the seals dry out because there's no quote unquote lubrication through them. And you know, petroleum is caustic. And then you add ethanol to the fuel and you run it through and it softens and weakens, you know, the rubber seals. And if they're already cracked and brittle, it just leaks right through them and catastrophic failure. So that's a real common thing, especially in motorcycles for some reason. I think everything's maybe a little smaller, but it's, you know, again, we talk about all the time. It's a big problem, but that kind of stuff really shows in these old cars. Most of these cars suffer fuel systems, fuel leaks, which are, you know, so dangerous, especially with these rear engine cars. Well, any cars where there's a, you know, a header attached, but it's, well, I just say rear engine because often they can't see them or smell them because they're behind them, you know, but but that's it.
Any place the Morgan where ran cars great. Got to stretch their legs on a private road or something?
right. But the Morgan ran great. It drove the first 2 days when it was cool. And then the second 2 days were a little more high speed and through the valley. We did the coast the first couple of days. So so we drove the Mini, and yeah, it was really good. We had Michael Smith, our good friend from Vegas, doing the photography this year. And I'm really excited because he's a great guy. He shoots for Ducati and all these off-road racers, and he's really, really spectacular. And I'm really excited to see. He was hanging out of one of these little 356s, and we're going through these really tight corners at speed, and he's just flopping all over inside that car. I'm going, oh, Michael's going to be so sick. And he wasn't. He wasn't. We had one scary moment where this lady in a Tesla, she was just irate. I mean, we're going at speed. We're passing cars on every passing lane, going through really tight corners, a lot of road work, and she's just having a fit, wants to pass all of us, cussing us out, throwing her arms in the air. And she made a very, very unsafe series of passes on the right, and then continued to cut off one of the cars that was trying to pass a truck at the last minute. And she cut in front of him and made everybody go sideways and slam on their brakes. And then right after that, a few corners later, we see a car on the other side of the road, CHP, and the thing was just demolished. It's a dangerous road. She's being a total idiot. And damn it, I wish somebody would have busted her ass. She deserved to go to jail. This woman was really, she put everybody at risk. It was horrible. And what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Not everyone likes.
I'm glad to hear the Morgan did well. It was like, what, 2 years ago when the differential kind of seized up or something on it, right?
Every year, something's gone wrong on day one.
Every year.
Every year
when the Morgan had an issue? But at least now. Year,
anything?
Now you get to drive home and swap cars, right? Because you live close enough.
I brought them both there. I was ready. I brought a backup. Now they both perform pretty much flawlessly. I'm really happy. I didn't have to do anything but drive them. Yeah, it's good.
Did Pesto go in the whole trip?
No. If Pesto was in Tahoe for a couple of weeks, and Misha just picked him up yesterday, and we're happy to have him home.
what do you put him up there to keep bears away, or what?
Oh, new story with bears. Oh, I got to send you guys a picture.
Bring it up, didn't I?
Our neighbor up the street said, "Hey, man, you brought the bears down to Napa." There was a bear literally three doors down from us, a big black bear, and he was black. I mean, black bear. He looked a little different from the Tahoe bears. And he's
maybe climbed you over. Maybe in the back of one of those trailers, you didn't see him walk in there and he hid.
He ain't one of mine. And in fact, you can almost see my trailer in the background as he's walking down the street. Like literally my trailer at the top of the property. He was right there. I mean, right by my trailer, and their cousins. And then his cousin, Steve, had messaged Rick, who I'm staying with, who we do the rally together. And Rick's like, "Hey, man." A day later, he's like, "Hey, man, there was a bear up by your trailer." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. His cousin sent me the photo 2 days ago." So it's kind of funny. It's a small community.
Yeah, they probably smell Tahoe bears all over your stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, hey, what's going on? Are they in my territory?
Yeah.
But it was great. We had six less people this year just due to scheduling conflicts, and we didn't have enough time to market replacements. But we still managed to do just a hair under 70,000 for charity. We usually do about 100. So they really, you know, minus six people, that they really came through for us. And the art did almost 50% of that. So that was pretty cool. So
I know you guys saw, you have some sponsors. Jay Leno's Garage, his car care line, they sponsor you guys. They step up.
Thank you. Yeah, Jay Leno's Garage, C-Tech. This year we had Lincoln Electric join us. And then RM Auction House joined us, and we had a good lineup. We're pretty happy with it. I hope to add Rugged Radios next year because, boy, do we need them. we got you know, you get in some traffic, and next thing you know, everybody's showing up an hour late to lunch, and oh, I made a wrong turn, and everybody left, and I had this Prius in front of us, you know, or this Tesla cut me off, or you know, it's always those people. Literally, it's always some redneck in a truck, some conservative in a Prius, or some Marin jerk off in a Tesla. It's like, I don't want to be that way with the labels, but 9 out of 10 times, it's exactly that. And it's so,
yeah, unfortunately, in California, for sure.
In California,
I was just talking on CarCast that the new version of catalytic converter theft is up in the Bay Area, is they're going to the Tesla chargers and they're cutting the charging cable off.
The cable.
Because of the copper that's in that cable.
Oh my
God. It's a few feet of cable and it's got massive amounts of copper. And one bank of chargers, about 9 different chargers, I think got hit 3 times already. And Tesla keeps putting new cables on it. And it's expensive and it's a lot of work. Now they're like, we don't know what to do. We got to cage them up or lock them up.
No, they're going to have to put where it terminates the charge up near the head. So if the guy goes to cut through it, it's charged.
Yeah. Just leave a little extra charge in there, like a capacitor, which is like a little extra charge. When you hit a thing with the bolt cutters, you go flying off into the woods.
Speaking of Tesla, what's the deal with Tesla letting go of all the supercharger crew, man?
There was
a big problem.
There was some debate and some rumors about how that all went down. But the funny story is, Tesla, you know, the reality is setting in with, you know, saturation of EVs and slowing sales and whatever. So Tesla said, mm-hmm. we got to do some layoffs. And there were some layoffs within the sort of the supercharger team, the charging network.
Like 500 team. Is more than,
well,
some.
Before that, there was just sort of the equal amount across the board. And then as the story goes, the woman, I forgot her name, she was sort of the head of that group.
Right.
Yeah. She went into a meeting with Elon Musk and he said, well, we need to make some changes and we need to cut some people. And she said, well, cutting some people would hurt the productivity and blah, blah, blah. And Elon got mad and then just fired her and everyone in that department. And he's like, well, problem solved.
He said,
of course, the news is saying, you know, this is how Elon Musk reacts to an answer that he doesn't like. Now I'm sure it's completely overblown and it's probably not how it went down, but who knows? Maybe that's how it went down.
Yeah. But I mean,
some of them are getting hired back.
I've known a number of people that have worked there and he has a tendency to be like that.
It's a little volatile.
Yeah. He just makes like just rash decisions and just, you know,
Should we start calling him the Queen of Hearts? Off with their heads.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
What was the, in the 80s, there was the hotel heiress that was like that. I can picture her. I can't remember her name. She was in New York, and she just, she was just like known to be like the worst.
I don't remember that.
Thought about this or seen this. Talked about, now it's coming to reality. 2025, they're going to have the VW ID, that e-van. the old VW vans that we remember. It's coming out. Going to have two versions, 228 horsepower E and a 335 all-wheel drive. Only one single platform. That's all they're going to have the first year. And, but a ton of colors. I mean, all kinds of colors. They're selling it on colors. What do you guys think of that? Now that you've got kind of the final version, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, totally fun. I mean, I'm not a fan of EVs, but, you know.
The ID Buzz, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, the ID Buzz.
Yes.
So I guess there's kind of like a long wheelbase and a short wheelbase. And I think in the US, they're only doing the long wheelbase.
Right.
They're not doing the smaller one. I think it'll be fine. And I think we'll see a handful here in California. But it's still, I don't know, for lack of a better term, it's still like a little gimmicky. And it's going to feel, in my opinion, like it's going to feel a little dated quickly.
Yeah. But being an EV, it's a hard sell, you know?
Yeah.
I disagree with you, Matt. I think we're going to see a lot of them on the road here in Southern California because the VW bus was such an icon, and so many people in the beach culture, the SoCal lifestyle loved it. That, I mean, do you remember, you know, think back when the VW Bug came out. It was gimmicky. It was dated very soon. And they were everywhere all of a sudden because people just wanted them. Then they got them and realized, it's not that great. It's not what I remember. But I think we're going to see a bunch of these.
But are those EV lifestyle people? I mean, if they're adventure people and they want to go places and travel and stuff in these things, you know, our infrastructure still can't quite handle it. I mean, depending on where they want to go.
Our infrastructure can't handle it, Aaron, but my God, there's a Tesla. There's five Teslas on every corner down where I live. I don't know about where you live, Matt, but it should be the same.
Yeah, there's everywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, look,
I think California, the beach communities will embrace it. I don't think it's going to take off as a huge seller. It's not like this is going to be the new Toyota Camry. I just think...
Oh, not at all. No.
You know, I think they'll be able to sell enough to make it worth their while. And that's enough. But you're right, though.
It's never going to be the VW again. You know, the Beetle, where it's something that just takes over.
Right, right. And like you're saying, Aaron, it's like they're going to, you know, there's thoughts of like, will you see a bunch of these at SEMA? Will they have pop-up tents on the roof? Will they have, you know, things like that? And they're going to start being outfitted with stuff. But yeah, it still is an EV. It's going to be kind of limited. And it's maybe a weekend trip, but not really, you know, just enough to get out of town. But you're not, I just don't see this going, hey, I'm in San Diego and I can't wait to hit Colorado.
Yeah, exactly.
I would bet big money that you will see one, maybe even two or more at SEMA with surfboards on top.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. Brandon, you got some wheels for it.
Design-wise.
We make big wheels for Teslas. We make wheels for Cybertrucks. Yeah. Why not those, you know?
Yeah. So design-wise, they're beautiful, and there's lots of little Easter eggs and fun little details. Like culturally, you know, I think they've done a good job with it, trying to appeal to the VW culture and all the nerdy things that we do in our communities.
I'm curious if the interior is going to hold up. Is it going to be nice? Is it going to be nice enough to go, this is a cool car to have, a cool vehicle to have? You know, essentially, like, it's kind of minivan-ish. So on one hand, it's like, does it fit into the minivan culture of like easy to clean and functional, but also kind of nice enough for the driver and passenger that it's you want to drive it all the time?
You mean
that's true.
The seats aren't like the original ones where they were just tube frame with a slab of foam and some fabric stretched over it?
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is? It's like there's some companies that, you know, Dodge Caravan and Honda's van and Toyota Sienna, like they've kind of figured out the minivan, you know, the storage spaces, what material should be plastic and easy to clean. You know, I don't know which one, maybe it was the Honda had the built-in vacuum cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it had like central vac in it, you know, like they've done enough feedback with customers that they understand what the minivan is for. Is this going to compete against that, or is this going to be more of the novelty van, you know, the
novelty
cool kid van? Yeah.
There's a lot of white in there. The ones that I'm looking at online, there's a lot of white, but you know, I have to say, like, all the new surfaces are really interesting materials. So we got rid of our Porsche Macan and got Misha a little Defender, a newer Defender, 90. And there's no leather in that thing. It's a nice spec, but there's no leather. And there's all these really interesting surfaces. They're almost like a type of foam.
Soft touch material that we feel.
Yeah,
now. It looks like the grain textured plastic, but it has a little bit of give to it now. It has the soft touch material.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like plastic. To me, it feels like a urethane or a foam. Yeah. But I have to say, I'm impressed because she was looking at a little two-door Jeep, like we were going to get another Jeep. But it was like from the Porsche, it felt like a big step down, you know, to where the Defender kind of feels like a step over and down. Because the Porsches are so nice. Everything's leather, but they're just beautiful inside. The touch quality is pretty exceptional. But I was really impressed because the interior feels very elevated. And then I got a lot of flat finish carbon fiber just to elevate plastic surfaces that looked a little too plasticky. And I got to say, the interior really looks nice in that car. I'm really curious to see if this has a lot of that stuff in it, because I would think that culture does not want leather. So I think a lot of these surfaces are probably those vinyls or plastics or urethanes or whatever they are. And just by looking at some of the finishes, even the wood grain is that synthetic wood. And I'm curious.
Be able to get into it at a sandy beach, damp, and then when you get home, get all the sand out.
Yeah, that's like the Defender. That there's no carpet. There's just plastic mats that pop right out with two clips, and literally you can just brush or not hose, but you could blow air and just everything is simple to clean. Yeah.
But there again, you know, what's the true DNA of that vehicle is to be, you know, out in the wilderness and get in semi-dirty and be able to get it cleaned up fairly easily, you know?
Yeah. Well, that white must be able to wipe down easy because there's a lot of it.
Well, I don't know about that because my Yukon has a what they call a shell-colored interior. God.
Yeah.
It's just been the worst. Even the leather. I mean, you know, because it shows everything. And I remember I used to go places and I would cover everything. And to this day, I have fitted seat covers on all the seats. And I'm like, why did I even get a leather interior if I'm going to put cloth seat covers on everything? You know, I mean, it's like, but.
Volkswagen sent me the ID4 press car a while back. We talked about. And that car was like, I had a blue with like the white leather interior. And I get it. Like it looks good in photos. I just don't get like the white steering wheel included. Like,
How about the fact that your engine dye comes off on every light surface?
Yeah. Too, yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So let me ask you guys something. I was looking at road trips and stuff.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/Westwood One.
Give your home a beautiful makeover with flooring options from Menards. Update your room with flooring from Tarkett. From easy-to-install sheet vinyl, waterproof vinyl plank, to durable laminate flooring, Tarkett has the perfect style for you. Grovewood laminate flooring is stain, scratch, and dent resistant and designed with busy families in mind. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options in-store or on Menards.com for more great deals now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I've really been wanting to make a road trip, like across to like back to Nebraska or something. I haven't done that in decades. And
wow.
I was thinking about doing it this summer, and I was thinking about things that you don't see anymore. And I'll give you a couple examples, then you guys throw in. But one of them was, do you remember when you used to roll through little towns and you would see like a muffler shop? And they'd have like the little guys out front made out of mufflers and exhaust.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Called muffler men. They'd have them like out holding a sign or whatever. You never see those anymore. You don't see muffler men anywhere anymore.
Yeah. Maybe they're on Craigslist now.
Yeah. Exactly. People steal them.
Exactly. A friend of mine was telling me he went across America and he goes, you know, you don't see Indian trading posts anymore. You know, you used to see those along the road. And you would see the trading post. You'd go in there and they'd have the little beaded coin purse and you know, all kinds of stuff, belts and leather goods and stuff.
I still see those a lot. Yeah,
you see them. And he sent me a picture of one that was just boarded up, you know, just kind of gone.
Because it's all made in China, Brad.
Well, it's an insult
to the culture. It's all made in China.
And kind of going backwards into the show where you were talking about the Tesla charging stations getting hacked now, one of the things that you don't see anymore because of theft are the roadside plaques. And people have been stealing those, you know. Remember how you'd see like a big boulder? And it'd be like, you know, pull over to the side of the road and you'd read it that, oh, this is where the Oregon Trail went through. And it'd have something. I saw one. I drive back and forth to Phoenix a lot, as everybody knows. And there's Desert Center. And there's a great story around the city Desert Center, which is a ghost town now. But there's this gas station that is on the side road that you see from the freeway. And that gas station, I've been watching it get older and older. When I first moved to California, it still had the pumps there, but it was closed even then. But now I've seen, you know, it goes, and I've always wanted to stop. Well, on one of my trips where I didn't have my wife saying, we don't have time to stop. No, you're not going to stop and look at some dumb gas station. I was alone, so I stopped.
You're not Freiburger.
Yeah. So I got off at the exit at Desert Center, took the side road, and I stopped and I checked it out, took some photos of it, drove across this little cool bridge. And on the other side, I see one of those plaques and it had weeds growing up all around it, tumbleweeds. And I go, what is that? One of those roadside plaques? So I pulled over, sure enough. And it just looks out at the desert. There's nothing there.
And so Brad grabbed his crowbar and tried.
Yeah, exactly.
Brad has a stack of those things in his loft right now.
Why is your trunk so weighed down?
It said that in the late 30s for World War II, they built a hospital there for injured servicemen, and it was inland because remember in World War II they thought California would be attacked. And it was that far inland. And there was this massive, it had like a, you know, a print of the hospital on the plaque. And I'm like going, there was this huge, like three level hospital in the middle of nowhere with an airstrip and everything. And now it's all gone. It's just this plaque out there. So if you see those, they're pretty interesting. Is there anything like the muffler men that you guys remember that you don't see?
If you see one of those plaques, just take a photo. Don't take the plaque.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know why these guys are taking them? They're taking them to take them to the recycler and get the copper or the brass value, which really.
Yeah. Because they were probably bronze. They were probably bronze or aluminum. Payphones. Outside of every stop, you'd see a payphone at rest centers. You'd see a payphone. Even on a telephone pole out in the middle of nowhere, you'd see a small phone for emergencies. I don't see any of that stuff anymore.
Yeah. What's funny is when you go to an older airport and you see where the phone bank used to be. And I can remember when I was traveling for business, there'd be 15 phones in a row and you'd have to wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, How about you, Matt?
Some of them, I've seen in an airport where they turn them into like cell phone charging stations.
Yeah.
People just stand there on their cell phone. It's still a phone booth, but you bring your own phone.
Yes.
You know,
It's such an assault to the payphone that first they had to go through the degradation of being pulled out, and now the cell phones charge there.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you guys kind of got it. You're right. I think the cell phones things and some of those things on the road trip. But I'm trying to think of
what about
done a few road trips. But
you know, what you don't see anymore is a working Tesla charger on the side of the road.
Yeah, they're missing the cables. What's up with that? But there's got to be a ton of things. I was trying to think of other stuff. And I know if we really put our mind to it, because, you know, the muffler man, there used to be the giants. Remember, you'd go through some town and there'd be like, remember the giants, the giant statues of a guy like holding an axe or holding a, you know, a tire iron or something. And it was this company. No, there was a company that actually made
it was holding an axe.
Giants. And they're like 20 feet tall. And they would.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, well, there was a Paul Bunyan
on the way to Monterey, where what's his name got killed in the Porsche.
Oh, okay, 550. Yeah.
James Dean. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Don't they still have one there? Right, that's where it's like that's outside the gas station or something. It's like where the
They were roadside giants. Yeah. I researched it once. There was a company that made them. And like car dealers would buy them and they'd say, have him holding a crescent wrench or, you know, and they would put, you know, all your service needs here. And they were so huge. And those were done away with the wiggly air, you know, guys that are in car dealers. Yeah, you got it. Aaron's doing it perfect right now. Perfect rendition. But it was cool. All right. I got something to follow up with that. This is just a question. I saw an article on Hemmings.com and it was entitled how to put a step-by-step instructions on how to put a Tremec in your 76 Charger.
Okay.
Now, my opinion on this, guys, a 76 Charger, for those of you that don't know, does not come across as a performance car, because if you remember the Carl Montalban ads of with Corinthian leather, the what was it? It was the what car was that? It was the Chrysler Cordoba.
Oh God!
My dad had one. My dad's had crushed velour, and this is the Dodge version of the Chrysler Cordoba. And I was like, why do we need to know about putting a Tremec transmission on? And then I realized, oh wait. The guys like us, he had some kind of car that he was building and needed some content. But yeah. It was sometimes you fix what the manufacturer failed to get right, they said. And he goes on to talk about how he put this Tremec in his Charger. I got to say, this Charger in the background looks pretty damn sweet in terms of condition. And if you want a reference without having to go search Google, if you remember like a 77 Monte Carlo, that's kind of what this looks like. It's kind of got a Monte Carlo vibe to it, you know? And, you know, it was fun. And,
yeah, not really my cup of tea, that car, but
it doesn't sound like fun.
the Tremec, the new TKK, I think it is a cool little transmission. Finally, something that is not just a 6-speed, it's a 5-speed, and it's small and it's lightweight, and it's the way beefier version of the T5. Like, and all the Mustangs have the T5. We have the world class T5 and the Mustang Cobras, which was a little bit beefier, but even those would blow apart. And to do something, an upgrade, there wasn't a lot of options until some companies started modifying those with their own gear sets. But now this new transmission, the TKX, I believe it is cool. I believe Matt Graves from American Powertrain, you talk about the Charger, he's got a big Cadillac. It's like an 80 something Cadillac. Maybe it's 83.
And he works with those transmissions all the time.
Yeah. Cause American Powertrain does the swaps. Do. He's like one of the top Tremec dealers, and he took a big Cadillac and put a manual in it. And, it's cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I got a Tremec sitting in my warehouse that I've been looking for something to put in. So one of these.
Yeah. Now, what do you have? You have like a TKO? Do you have a six speed? Is it a five speed?
I got the six. I got the six speed.
The six speed. Yeah.
Yep. And I had it in a Chevelle, and then I didn't do the Chevelle, but I kept the trans. So, you know, maybe I'll put it in my Yukon.
Yeah. maybe you could put it in your EV Volkswagen bus.
Yeah. And your now you're talking. I'll buy a Tesla and put a Tremec in it.
A manual swap.
My red Mustang Cobra behind me that's missing center caps, Brad, is
that has the
Tremec Magnum six speed swap in it. I haven't driven it. Nobody's ever driven it, but
why is that car never driven?
Because I haven't finished it, but it has a wonderful six speed transmission in it. At least I think it does. I haven't checked it in a while.
The only one
somebody could have taken it and parted it out.
That is still sitting at Bodie's. Is it still sitting out there?
That shell of a car. Yeah. Yeah. That's maybe I'll just sell that shell.
What the shell?
Yeah. What the shell? Before we did the podcast, Ray called from Full Throttle Customs. Ray's got my Mustang Mach 1. And I think I mentioned you guys before that now that it's after SEMA, we're trying to dial in the tune. So,
right.
The original tune, which was done quickly for SEMA.
This is not the stereo. This is the performance.
Right, not the stereo. The stereo I've already got tuned. That one I actually did get tuned. It made 530 horsepower to the tires on a Mustang dyno. The Mustang dyno is usually, you'll see a little bit lower number than the dyno jet. And that's because the Mustang dyno puts a load on it to simulate the weight of the vehicle and stuff. And the dyno jet doesn't always do that. Like, I don't even know if you can configure to do it. It's a conversation for Ray. He would know more about it, but we took it. It came up with like 7.5-8 pounds of boost at 530 horsepower. And he's been working on the tune, and it came in at about 535 horsepower, but at 5 pounds of boost, and which is interesting. So I don't know where the boost went because there's no boost controller on it. And he called to talk about, should we put a boost controller on it? The tune is better. It's making more power, but I don't know where the boost went. We didn't change springs or wastegates. We didn't do anything. Yeah. So we're curious as to what's going on at it. So we need to look into that stuff and maybe put a boost controller on it. But look, the Coyote engines can make a lot of power. Obviously, the more you make, there's going to be some durability issues. You can run E85, you can run racing fuel. I just want a good pump gas 91 octane, you know, car. And his feeling is it should be making on 7 to 8 pounds of boost, maybe between 7 and 9 pounds of boost, probably get closer to around 600 horsepower at the tire. Perfect. And it'll feel as quick as any modern, you know, Hellcat GT500 out there. Can we get more out of it? Yes. But then it starts to become a handful to drive. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really looking for that. I just want it to be fun.
You don't
want to
be a to get video. In it.
No, I don't. I don't want to be a cautionary tale. You know,
it's Matt Kaboom D'Andrea.
I just want to be able to get in it and have it reliably fire up and be a fun car to drive. Yeah. So a little bit more work, and then we'll get the final answer on that. But I was Ray calling to talk about. He's like, what do you want to do with this car? I go, what do you mean? He's like, you want 1,000 horsepower or do you want 500 horsepower? I go, I don't know, Ray, you tell me what's good. And that's basically what he explained is, let's not screw with fuel systems and E85 and all this other stuff. We're not chasing the big horsepower number. It's not the right car for that. In this particular car, like you said, Brad, you know, we did the stereo on it. We got the wheels on it. And, you know, it's like, it's a full interior. It's not meant to be a racing car. It's got some sound ender in it. It's got the Magnaflow exhaust. It's a really nice, fun car to drive.
Yeah, keep it fun. Keep it fun.
Yeah.
You got your red one that you can tune to the hilt. Nah, it's not going to be that, but it's going to be fun, and you can go burn some rubber. And
you know, that it's funny because that'll be sort of a pushrod engine Fox body version of the Mach 1. It'll be right around the same 100 horsepower, 500 or so, maybe 600. Not, actually, it's going to be less horsepower because I didn't go with like a big 4-bolt block. So it's a 2-bolt block and it's all kind of beefed up and built out and stuff. And it'll be good. It's the Lightning behind me, the black Ford Lightning. That's the one where the engine that I'm building, that's the all aluminum Dart 427 small block Ford engine, you know, that super beefy engine, you know, so
a lot of projects going, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of projects. I'm never going to finish them, but you throw some race gas or you throw an E85 young, or race Brad, gas in the Lightning and that thing will be, you know, 1,000 horsepower.
I'm thinking about building, you know, finishing my Chevelle, my 69 Camaro, and, you know, my other car, and just getting one motor and just
do just a swapping,
quick,
swapping,
do a quick swap thing.
Yeah, so like a quick release motor.
Yeah.
Just do a platform, motor. Brad. Just do What's a platform that? And body swap them like an RC car.
Yeah. 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 It'd be great if you could do that. If you could just build one super motor and trans and it and have like a, have like a little keypad and just go, okay, it's going in the Chevelle and the tune goes into it and you're going, good. Okay, we're going into the Camaro. Tune goes.
I think it's like in Japan where they have the cars like stack up in an elevator and then the parking garage. Just do it with body swaps. Just body swap. Just pick the body swap you want. Yeah. Just Brad, go buy one of those Carvana dealers and just swap.
I was gonna say the elevator would cost me more than Carvana goes out of business. Everybody's going to want to buy those elevators.
All of my projects are pending because I have to sell more Bravago and we need more podcast ads. If we get those things, then I'm ready to go.
I'm with you. I got to sell more wheels and you know, have more podcasting dollars. So, all right. In with that. Well, cool. I mean, you know, it's the transmissions. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things you can put them in. But people have fun putting them in whatever they can. I don't know. I think we're going to wrap it up today, guys. Aaron, yeah. When you're in Napa, where can they find you?
Just find me under my name, Aaron Hagar. I'm just kind of out and about and everywhere. Lots of good stuff coming up.
Are you going to Vegas for your dad's big Sammy's Island lunch at the Palms?
I was asked to go to the Super Sunday this weekend. It's also Expo in Arizona. There's so Super many plans. Sunday.
Hot fudge, that kind.
I'll let you know what happened on that next week. But there were so many plans, but Vegas, we decided not to go. There was no accommodations. It's really hectic. So Dad said, just come another time. So we
it's not going anywhere. He's going for the launch, but it's a huge thing that it's going to be there for a while. So it'll be interesting to check out. I can't wait to get over there just to kind of actually it'll be better to go a little later if you know, once sort of the bugs are worked out and some changes have been made and it's kind of settling in a little bit.
Bugs.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be any bugs.
No, it's later when
it's too hot outside for bugs.
When the sun is intense. And everybody is glistening under the Las Vegas sun at Sammy's poolside cabana. What is the official name? What do you know it, Aaron?
I don't. Sammy's Beach Bar Resort.
Oh. Beach Bar Resort.
Beach Island. Sammy's Beach Island.
Okay.
Yeah, Sammy's Beach Bar Island. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, he's been posting stuff, but it's really cool. I mean, I have to say, it's really really cool.
I like the drawings he put up. Yeah.
That's all Todd Galoppo, man. Todd, I'm telling you, Todd's killing it. He's awesome.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, Sammy has taken over the entire pool area of the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas.
It's big.
And it's been rebranded Sammy's Beach Bar Island, and it's going to be poolish can be. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be, and around Halloween, it'll be poolish. Instead of ghoulish.
Right, and where can they find you?
I'm working at the comedy club in Des Moines, Iowa South.
Find you in the alley behind the comedy club.
My wife made goulash the other night, and I said, if we have this in October, can we call it ghoulish? She just looked at me with a look like you just gave me, like, oh my God, I married this
guy. The same look my wife gives me after 8 o'clock.
Matt,
yes.
Where can they drink Bravago?
In their own homes. You can get it at drinkbravago.com. And for our Southern California listeners, we're launching soon in about a week into about 5 different total wine locations. And it's very important that you go into those total wine locations and purchase some Bravago, or we will not be invited back. You can follow us at Drink Bravago on social media to find out where, but it's Culver City, Huntington Beach, Long Beach, Redondo, and Carmel Mountain in San Diego.
Cool.
At the total.
And follow me on Instagram at Bradley_Fanch. I had to stop and think, did I say Instagram or did I say LinkedIn? Because I messed those up.
You said online, I think.
But, and if you need wheels, buy some Bond Speed wheels, because you know what? If you don't go in and buy Bond Speed wheels, they won't ask me back. So my boss is a ball buster. So
she has them in jar. She has balls in jar.
Yes. Hey, everyone. We'll be back next week. And that is a promise, not a threat. Shift and stare. Thanks.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Once upon a time, 3 bears found a golden-haired guest who wouldn't leave their home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
Should we introduce ourselves?
No, Barry. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.